Good morning. I'm Jessica Webster. We are talking about mothers today, obviously, and I'd like to invite up a few mothers to come and talk with us this morning. Is that okay? Cool. Cindy Slay, would you come on out? Christine Navolt and Monique Salas. Can you guys give them a hand as they come up? Go ahead. They're coming on down. You can keep clapping. It's good for the soul. So come on up here and have a seat, mamas. One thing that we wanted to just kind of do is share in a little bit of wisdom today, which I think is really awesome, myself being a mom. A quick little update. We had two pregnant ladies, predominantly pregnant ladies, in our church recently. And one of them, Desra, and her husband Josh, had their baby early this morning. At 12:35, I was told that baby Daniel Joseph was the first baby born on Mother's Day in this town. Isn't that awesome? And there's another couple, and that would be our very own Pastor John and Lene, who are currently working on having that baby. So that's why you don't see them here today, which is so exciting. So anyways, let's get to this. Here's a microphone.
Oh, really?
Yes. So let's go through here. This is Cindy, and I just kind of wanted these ladies to share a little bit, like, in and of what you are as it pertains to a mom, like, home life. So just briefly share, each of you, kind of, like, just a little snippet. Give us a little background of where you're at in your motherhood right now.
I have four children. I have nine grandchildren. I have a son currently living with me, and I'm a happy woman.
I'm a full-time working mom. I work in the jails in Santa Barbara. I have four kids. I'm a single mom. My oldest is 19. I have two daughters who are here today, going to be 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 6-year-old. Yeah, they're all at home. They're very much at home.
And that's Monique Salas, and then Christine.
I have four daughters that live at home with us, my husband and I, and my husband had three adult children from before. One is in heaven, and we have a daughter that God gave us that we love, and she's also an adult. But so the adult children don't live with us, but our little girls do. The oldest is 12, and then 10, and 8, and 7.
Awesome.
And I'm at home.
Yeah, and homeschool, right? Christine homeschool.
Yeah.
And your kids go to school during the day.
Right, my kids go to school.
And Cindy, your kids don't go to school because they're grown.
No, my son is 50, my daughter is 48, my twins are 43.
They're in the school of life, I guess.
They're out there doing it.
Okay, so I really wanted to just kind of get real this morning. And one thing I wanted to preface, I know that today's Mother's Day, but there's a lot of you out there that maybe aren't mothers yet, or wish to be a mother, or maybe you're a man and can't be a mother. And so I just wanted to kind of charge you this morning. I pray that the Lord would open our ears and that you would catch a nugget. Because one of the things that mothers can offer, of the many things, is wisdom. And so no matter where you're at in life, whoever you are, if you're a man or a woman, kids, no kids, just ask the Lord right now to give you a nugget, something that you can take home and take hold of that can that you can use for your everyday life. Is that good? Let's agree for that. I think that's awesome. So just a couple things. Briefly, I want you guys to tell me, what is the happiest thing about being a mom? Happiest thing.
When we're all together.
When you're all together.
We laugh, we talk, we eat. We eat. And we just have a great time together. It's really a really wonderful moment when, however, 4, 5, 9 of us, 14, I think there's 14 of us. Anyway, it's a great time.
I think for me, probably one of the happiest things, especially with the ages of my kids right now, is watching the amazing people they're becoming. And when they come home, share stories and they tell me things that they do, and it's like, you know, you work so hard, and it's like, okay, they're becoming great people, and so I think that's probably one of the happiest. And we also really like to cuddle, so I think that's probably something that's good for us too. We just kind of, we have like four sofas, and we all end up all in one sofa.
I agree. I think it's just it's amazing to see the people that our kids are becoming, and to just see all the differences, how they think differently. They all have different dreams and visions for their life, and they're just kind of like, they're these amazing little people and big people, and they're just I enjoy seeing who they become.
Awesome. Okay, what is the most how can I say this? What's the most interesting mom moment you've experienced at home? We want real, okay? We want, Cindy, do you have a real one? Something weird that a mom
weird?
Can only, yes, a mom, weird mom
the
moment.
The one I told you?
Sure.
Okay. This was in, I think the 80s. And my husband had made bunk beds, built in fact, he had assembled them in the room. They were so big and heavy, you couldn't move them. But my children were at the age where you want to train them up in the way that they should go, so they're responsible to make their own beds. And I would do the laundry, but they would make their beds. And then there came a time when we had to move, because we were renting that house. And in order to get that bed, now by this time, the kids are out of the house. Okay, this was January of 95. Yeah. And so we had to disassemble that bed in the bedroom in order to get it out of the room. Now, please don't tell my son what I'm about to tell you. He doesn't live here. But if any of you are friends with him on Facebook, mum is the word. When my husband took down the bunk bed, we discovered on the wall of his bunk bed place that he had created his own booger wall.
Don't tell me you haven't seen a booger somewhere.
That's I was a gas station. I mean, it was massive. It was like, oh my gosh. Oh, I felt bad because obviously I should have been in there more. But I also was like, oh, I feel like I'm in San Luis where the gum wall is. I mean, oh my gosh, my gosh. I will never forget it. And we torment him with that story today.
Oh my God. Okay. So for me, having four kids, and as moms, you can relate that, like, sometimes you just don't get anything to yourself. Like, you go in the bathroom and, you know, they're like sticking their fingers under the door. And so there's, I work full time. So like some days I'm just like, I don't have anything left to give anybody. So there was a time in our lives when I really didn't have a whole lot of money. So ice cream was a big treat for us. So we would go get ice cream. So my kids love ice cream and so do I. So one day I'm at work and a friend of mine, she tells me, hey, Monique, there's this really good gelato. It's called Talenti. She goes, it's so good. Oh, my gosh, it's the best I've ever had. So I'm like, I want to try it. So I go to the store, and for like a pint, it's like $5. So I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, like I can't spend $5. Because as moms, right, we give everything to our kids and like to have a treat. So I'm like, I can't spend $5 on a pint. I'm wrestling with myself, but I'm like, you know what? I really need a treat. So I get the ice cream, but in my head, I start plotting because I know if I take the ice cream home, my kids have been known to literally rip the ice cream out of my hands and eat it, and I'm left with, like, nothing. So so I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to go home, and how am I going to hide this from my kids? So I get the pint of ice cream, I sneak it in the house, I say hi to everybody, and then I go in the bathroom. I turn off the lights. I lock the door, and I figure I have 5 minutes before they come looking for me. So I sit, and I'm sitting on the edge of the bathtub, and I'm so happy. Like, I get this pint of ice cream all to myself, and I'm, like, eating it. And all of a sudden, I hear a knock at my door, and it's Beth Nolan, who unexpectedly came to my house. And I'm like, no. So I have to do the walk of shame out of my bathroom with a pint of ice cream. And my kids, of course, are like, sharing is caring, Mom. You know? They pull the sharing is caring card, and they take the ice cream. I never see it again. So that was my mom ice cream story.
So this child will remain nameless just to avoid embarrassment for her, the poor thing. She was only 2, so she didn't really know what she was doing. But there was this day when I was walking through the house, and I smelled this really funny odor, and I was kind of looking around, and I knew it had, like, my 2-year-old at that time, I think she was already potty trained, so it wouldn't have been normal for her to, like, have a poopy diaper still. So I was kind of trying to figure out what was going on, and I walked to the front, over by the front where we lived at the time in Morro Bay. We had a glass, 2 glass front doors. And I found my 2-year-old standing at the glass door, and she had had an accident, actually. And so she had pulled it out of her pants and was coloring the glass door. So the whole glass door was being smeared with poop. We had this really wonderful family dog in. he was an inside dog. And he was standing there with her licking it off the door as she was, like, smearing it on, and he was, like, licking it up, like, look, I'm helping. So I was like, I was so appalled. I was like, I couldn't, I'm like, I'm the oldest of 8 kids, so I've helped raise lots of kids. I had never seen this happen. And I was like, why would you do that? What would make you think to do that? She's very creative.
So good. I'll share one quick one. Probably not nearly as good as any of these, but I remember, you know, baby out of the bath. I won't say what child either. That was a good call. So I noticed, you know, Nakey out of the tub, walking around the house, sits down, stands back up. Well, there was this piece of food on the carpet, and when he sat down, his little butt cheeks pinched it up, and then I look from the kitchen, and it falls out, and it was, like, slow motion, because he turns around, picks, and he goes like this, and I'm like, no, boom, in the mouth. So, weird mom times. Weird. Things you'd never think that you would. I'm sure you all have amazing stories. Thank you for that. All right, so let's start to switch gears here. Super fun. I want to know, what is a challenge when it comes to motherhood and parenting? You know, we talk about the fun stuff, the weird stuff. What might be a challenge that you can encourage us with, each in your own different, you know, phases of life? You've fully raised your kids, you're in the throes of teenagehood and younger kids, and you're in the throes of the little ones. What would be, like, a challenge for you personally as a mom?
Recently, I realized how many times I say to someone, you need to. And I've asked the Lord to help me not say that anymore, because that I think you need to is my opinion or my judgment. And that's not always right. So learning to be quiet where my adult children are concerned. I can answer the questions. I can offer advice when they ask it. And I can love them. I'm going to tell a story on my son. a serious story. I'm trying to figure out how much I want to tell. As a mom of adult children, you can't control their life anymore. You have to let them go. And that's hard because you've raised them and you've protected them and you've trained them and you've loved them and you've guided them all those years. And to finally take your hands away and say, okay, now you're free to make your decisions. That's a big deal. And then trust that even in the face of their wrong decisions, that it's going to be all right because you're praying and you know God can make it all right. How to love my adult children. I had an incident because my son lives with me. I had an incident where I didn't want him to be with me anymore. He was behaving badly. And this had been a long, all of his life pattern with me. And he would behave badly. And then he would be told to go. And he'd go out from me and live in the world. And then he'd come back. And life was hard for him. So he'd be home a short while. And then I'd say, I can't stand anymore, you got to go. Again, it was repeated many times. And this last time, he asked to come home, and I asked the Lord, I need to see this from your perspective, because I don't want to have happen again what's been going on. And all of a sudden, the next day, the Lord showed me, from heaven's perspective, what was really going on. And I brought my son home. This year we will celebrate 6 years together, my oldest son. But in that, I discovered something, because I move in deliverance. That's in counseling. That's what I do here at Equippers. And it was interesting because my son started to act up again. And I thought, I don't want him here anymore. And then I said, Lord, I need to see this from your perspective. I need to see him as you do. And then I need strategy and tactic to walk it out. And all of a sudden, the Lord showed me that on my son, like on him, and for those, I hope I don't confuse many of you, but the Lord revealed to me that my son carried a spirit of rejection, and it would cause him to act up so that I would reject him. And so when I saw that, I got really angry. And because we have all authority and all power over all the power of the enemy, I stood up and took authority over that stupid jerk rejection, broke its power. It's been 5 years. It's never manifested again. And I've been able to love my son and him love me like never in our lives before. There was one quick other incident, and the strategy and tactic. He came from a very dark place, very dark place. He was, and I'm being quite serious, he was a walking dead man when he came to me. And I had some friends come up for the weekend, and he started acting up again. And I said, okay, Lord, because I wanted to slap him. But I said, Lord, I need your strategy and tactic for him. And I hope this helps some of you out there. And you know what the Lord said to me? What to do? Can you guess? Give him a hug. I gave him a hug, and he calmed right down. And it's because he was feeling insecure. And all of a sudden, I had my happy son again. So those are some of the things that I'm learning with adult children.
So I love this, actually, because I love the realness right? Because if we're not real, then, like, from the real, we can heal, and from the real, we can move forward. So I love that. I think for me, part of, I think there's probably on two ends the struggle. Personally, for me as a mother, one thing I struggle with is taking care of myself, psychologically, emotionally, and physically. Somehow I feel like if I concentrate too much on myself, that other things, maybe being a single mom, I don't know if that's a difference or not, but I just have a feeling it's a mom thing, because you just give. But I feel like if I concentrate so much on myself that something else falls off. So in my head, I can't let that be my kids. So I have to make sure they're okay first and then take care of myself. So I have struggle in finding balance in that, because I also know that if I don't take care of myself, then I can't give them what I don't have. So I have to love myself psychologically, emotionally, and physically so that I could give them the best me. So for me, I struggle almost constantly keeping that balance. The other thing that I struggle with as far as my kids go is that how to guide them, discipline them without breaking who God made them to be. So I remember one day, my youngest son, he's 6. For me, because I work in Santa Barbara, my schedule's so tight, like I really depend on my kids and other people to get my kids where they need to go, and like I need my babysitting. And one day he had gotten in trouble, and it was like his second or third time or something in the year, and so they have them miss a day or two of babysitting, which for some people is not a big deal, but for me it's like detrimental because I need to work. So I was just, I know his little heart, I always call him a golden heart. I didn't want to crush him, but I needed him to behave himself, so I couldn't choke him either. So I remember sitting in the car, my oldest daughter, Zion, she looked at me, and she wasn't trying to criticize me, but she looked at me, and she's like, "So, Mom, what are you going to do about this?" And I'm thinking, I have no idea. Like, if I knew what to do about it, he wouldn't be getting in trouble in the first place. But I remember just sitting there thinking, like, how, I don't even know. I have no idea what to even do. And so, I had to just sit and cry and think, because I was just, with my situation, I needed him to be in babysitting. And then was able to ask the Lord, like, how do I do this with him? And then also in that, be able to show my daughter that, like, I don't know what to do all the time. And it's okay, like, I can go to the Lord, and to be able to say, like, I don't know what to do. And that's okay. We don't always know what to do. But the Lord always knows what to do. And he knows our kids, and he knows me. And so it worked out, but it turned out to be part of the struggle for me is like letting go that I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to always know what to do. And I don't have to pretend like I do. But that to be able to rely on the Lord and then teach my kids, like, where do we go when we don't have the answers? Where do we turn? So that's been an amazing process for us, especially with 4 kids, 4 different personalities, 4 different ages, and like me with nobody to bounce it off of. God's been the Holy Spirit. I'm like, please. Sometimes I'm just like, please, somebody give me an answer, because I have no idea. And he's always really faithful to do that. So just going through that process can be a struggle, but in the end, it works out really amazingly.
I'm like, I need a pen here. Does somebody have? So good, Christine.
So I relate a lot to Cindy with the adult children. For our adult kids, we have some similar struggles at times, and what she said was perfect. But at my little ones, I find that the challenge for me, because of just the different things in life that have kind of been in our, for our life, there's been a lot of different really hard things for us to go through through the years. Losing my husband's daughter, Holly, that was a big one for my girls to go through, that kind of loss and grieving a big sister. And then going through my husband's accident and brain injury, and then there's for me as a mom trying to help my kids process grief and suffering and pain has been probably where I find myself challenged. And what I realized, we went through a recent struggle with our kids. My daughter, we found out one of my daughters had been molested by one of our adult sons. And so that was a huge, how do we help her? How do I, what it came down to is, I was having this anxiety as we went through we had to go through a trial. And I just realized what it boiled down to is, because my other adult daughter asked me, like, what is the anxiety coming from? What does it really boil down to? And what it really boiled down to was, I didn't even see it. It was hidden, but I was like, is God really good? Is he really going to take care of me? Is he really going to take care of my kids? Like, as we go through all these hard things, and that there was like this doubt that was underlying, that was causing like all this anxiety and fear. But when I saw it, then it was like, oh, well, that's just a lie. Because of course God is good. There's so many, I mean, hundreds upon hundreds of things that I can personally testify to God's goodness in my own life. And so I just started like, God is good in like so many little tiny ways and big ways, but sometimes the littlest, tiniest ways mean so much more than even big things. But when I saw that, it was like God just took away that fear. And then to help my kids, like, to see that God is good. Look at all the ways that he provides. Look at all the ways that he brings justice, that he brings healing, that he takes care of us no matter what bad things happen, because bad things do happen. It's part of life. And we all have things that are hard and that they're painful, but it doesn't destroy us and it doesn't keep us as a victim, but we can rise up and be victorious, and we can still love people, we can still give, we can still receive joy and gladness in the middle of hardship. So.
Amen. Amen. So good. Is this okay? I mean, these are like real women, real stories. And I did want to say, you know, all these women here have even a role that they play here in the church. Cindy does healing and deliverance and sort of mama, pastor. And then Monique does prayer and intercessory and healing as well. And then Christine, all that too, but also children's ministry, worship ministry. And so, you know, we all have like a different call on our lives as women individually or as people individually, and then to throw this call of motherhood on top of all that to help raise up the call in your own children, right? That's, for me, that's really challenging to think about, but God doesn't give us more than we can handle, and he's equipped every single one of us to do the job. And so I have an issue that I wanted to bring to the table, and this will probably maybe be the last thing that we share in and talk about. But I wanted to preface it. Josiah, can you put up this? This is kind of a funny thing. Okay, so I'm talking about comparison here, right? Mamas, mom number one, my kids never have meltdowns. Mom number two, always organic. Mom number three, 10 minutes screen time per day. Me, my kids are bat blank crazy and eat fish crackers off their car seats and have Paw Patrol episode 2 memorized to the blank. Them, what? Me, what? So, I'm sorry if that's a little edgy for anybody, but it's a very real thing, and let's be real, like even as adults and as people, as we're growing up in our lives, we tend to get this comparison thing going on. Okay, even myself comparing my silly weird stories with these moms, I'm like, their stories are way better than mine. No, wait, we all have a story, and so I wanted to talk about like, how do we, as the call of God, because you and I were talking about the call of motherhood and the call of raising children and being who we are as women or as men, you know, how do we like foster that and how do we stay true to that personal call? There's things that we can all glean from when it comes to motherhood and training and parenting, but also like how do you glean from that but then stay true to yourself and who God has called you to be for the kids that he gave you? I feel like it's a loaded question, but I'm curious, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah. I personally believe that when you step into motherhood, it's an office, a godly office of motherhood. And I believe there is an anointing that's available to you to become the best mother you can be. But it only comes from the Lord, and so you go to him for it. But when you go to him, that anointing is an empowerment for your places of weakness, and it's a grace for your places of strength. And so seeking first him in every dimension of your motherhood, he will always have the answer. He always has a plan. He's never without an answer, as impossible as it may seem, as awful as it may seem, as... I had a friend say this to me, and I know why it's coming to me now, but it is. She said the most amazing thing is so simple. God is always so simple. And she said, it came and it passed. You know how many times it says that in the Bible, and it came to pass? Everything you face, it'll come. It'll pass. And so all the difficulties, because when you're a mom and you have these little bitty babies, you think it's never going to change. I mean, it's going to be like this forever. And you're never going to get refreshed or not tired. I mean, you're always going to be that way. But it passed. And now my children are all grown. So I feel like the first question is always to be, Lord, what now? Lord, how do I do this? Lord, show me this situation from your perspective. Give me the plan. Give me the strategy. Give me the tactic. I believe if, as you're called to a wife, there's an anointing and office of wife. And as a woman of God. But as a mother, I think it's the closest thing to God's heart. There's a scripture in Malachi, and it says, God is talking to this husband and wife, and they'd been having trouble. And he said, do you know why I made the two of you one? And they said, no, because I seek godly offspring to fill the earth. So that's the heart of God. To fill this earth with godly offspring. So if you have small children, you're doing a darn good job to fill this earth with a knowledge of the glory of the Lord. So just know that when you feel tired, when you feel weak, when you feel like you don't have a clue what to do, he does. He always does. I learned this after my husband died. It's this little exchange. Your strength for my weakness. Your strength for my weakness. And every time he came with strength. And every time you have a question, a moment of weakness, or you're exhausted, look up, because that's where your help comes from.
So I want to make sure that I understand the question. It was, how do we, can you...
Like, staying true to the call of the mom that you're supposed to be for your kids versus the comparisons in the, that we face in our culture.
Yeah.
No, you did great. You did awesome. Taking those nuggets. You did great. I want to affirm you in your answer.
So, I think such a huge part of that is identity, knowing who we are first and foremost. And I remember one time I had just gotten a job in Men's Central Jail. I was a teacher there, and I was fairly new in the Lord, And I was studying, and I read something in the Bible about a meek spirit. And in my head at the time, a meek spirit was somebody who talks like this. And I'm sorry if you talk like that, but I don't. Yeah, I thought a meek spirit was somebody like this, and they just talk so nicely, and, you know, they were very quiet and very polite. And I said, Lord, I want to be like that because I want a meek spirit. And I was working one day. Now, mind you, I'm working in Men's Central Jail, like with inmates, so talking like that would have probably gotten me beat up. But that's what I wanted. I wanted this meek spirit. And so I remember working with this one woman in the office one day, and she talked like that, and she was just so nice and so quiet. And I was like, Lord, that's what I want to be like. That's what I want to be like. And he said, almost kind of laughing, like, I didn't make you that way. Yeah. And it hit me that he really didn't. I still love, and he also taught me that that's not really what a meek spirit is. But I had to come to realize that, like, who he made me to be. Like, part of who he made me to be is this warrior, kind of battling. Like, I worked with lifers, murderers, killers. in the prison not too long ago. I'm working in the jail right now with men and women, and there's this battle in me to take down what the enemy has falsely and unjustly put up. And so that's constantly, like, the more I get in touch with that, the more I start to realize who he made me to be. So in that, one thing I had to do was put myself off the hook. Like, you know, there's just some things as a mom that I don't feel like I'm proficient at, like my laundry. I mean, I just can't stay on top of my laundry to save my life.
Are the men laughing too? I just want to know.
I'm a little suspicious. Ask Christine. I'm a little suspicious of people when I go to their house and they have kids and there's no laundry in sight. I'm like, where is it?
They hide it. It's in the garage.
And so I would, I would find myself comparing myself to, and not to mention that it's something I have to work at, like a sense of, some people have this really beautiful sense of style, and, you know, and I'm like, I would rather be wearing jeans and Chuck Taylors and a t-shirt personally. But, and I had to kind of let myself off the hook, like, I don't have to be somebody else. Like, Jess is the best Jess that there is. Nobody can be a better Jessica. Nobody can be a better Cynthia. Nobody can be a better Monique or better Christine. Like, he made us the best at who we are. And there's nobody who can be a better us. And when I came to realize that, like, I could appreciate people for the giftings they had, and then I could start to appreciate myself for the giftings I have. And so from that, like, it really did start with me. From that, then, I could then look at my children and not have to, because if I'm honest, sometimes there are times when my kids would act up and I'd be like, knock it off. Like, can't you act like these other children, you know? Look at those children. Like, they're not getting dirty, or they're not, you know. But when I was able to finally recognize that in myself, then I could look at my four kids and realize they're totally four different people. And they have four different callings, and they have four, you know, God made them, they're fearfully and wonderfully made. And then I could start appreciating them for who they were. And, you know, when I started to do that, I didn't have to compare us to anybody else, because then I could just come to realize we were the best us God made us to be. And I would love to say that it never happens. I'm still a little jealous of people who keep on top of their laundry and don't feed their kids cereal for dinner.
Raise your hand if you burn your laundry. Kidding.
You know, or come up with these really amazing meals. But I mean, I'm still. It's a constant struggle to not. But really, what it is keeping my eyes here, and not keeping my eyes here. And so for me, that's kind of how, and it's been a process, and I think it's going to continue to be a process as I grow and as my kids grow. So.
Well, I think that that kind of covers it, but I think that it's something that any mom, it's just kind of a hard thing when you start having kids. You hear stories from moms, you watch other moms, and you just immediately kind of start looking at yourself or looking at your kids going, oh, we're not really doing this correctly. We have to do things better. But like Monique was saying, your own identity is who you are as a person and who you are as a family. It's your own. There's nobody else on the planet like you. And so I think there's freedom. There's so much freedom in that when you can look at it that way. But that is the struggle. That's like the constant struggle is because we're always bombarded by the media and just people around us and our own families growing up. Sometimes I find that hard to comparing to my own growing up experience and like how do I make sure that I'm not just trying to be just like how I grew up but like doing it the way my kids need it to be and not trying to copy something because I thought oh well, that was really good but I have to really take all of the good things even and be like God is that really what you have for my kids is that what you have for us for me and so that's something I think it's an ongoing process. It's probably something that I'll always have to ask those questions just to kind of keep in check, but it's good.
Can I just say one more? I just wanted to add one thing. So many beautiful moms in here, just getting to know some beautiful moms. And I think there's a difference between being inspired and being envious or feeling condemned. Because, I mean, I can look around, I mean, beautiful women and just be totally inspired by the women that they are and strive and honor them. But that's from the Lord. The enemy will try to translate that into trying to make us feel bad about ourselves. So.
Yeah, I wanted to add another thing. Preconceiving what you think your children ought to be, it's not a good thing. But allowing them to be who they are, and you'll find that out by watching them, by listening to them, and seeing what they're interested in. My youngest son, Kevin, since he was a little bitty boy, he was thrilled with theater, and he would be part of the church plays every single time. He is now a theater arts professor. My daughter has nothing to do with me. What I'm saying is I learned early that I couldn't force them to be what I thought they needed to be. I had to let them be who God created them to be, and I had to ask him to help me train them up in that rather than what I wanted. And because that set me up for disappointment, it set them up for failure, and it was not a good thing. So my daughter, Amanda, and I'm going to say my kids' names, Kevin and Amanda are the twins. When she was little, she would sit on the floor, and I would open up a drawer, and she would organize it. My daughter is an amazing administrator to this day. My son, Robert, the one who lives with me, I just recently found this out. Now, this is telling on me my failure in those areas with him. He was firstborn. I was firstborn. Firstborns are tough. If you're a firstborn, it's tough because your parents didn't have a guidebook with you. He loves photography. He's going to school to be a professional photographer right now. But he told me... When I didn't know that he always loved it. I knew he always seemed to have pet family pictures around, but I didn't get it. And so he told me when he was young that he would light fires in the backyard and then take pictures of how things burnt. And I thought, Oh! I'm glad I didn't know then. But you can see what gifting is in your child, even at an early age. And my daughter, Kelly, loved numbers. She's really, really good at numbers. Really, really good at math. And so detailed. What she did, even in the little things, she was detailed. She is the supervisor of the accounting department at Hancock. And so, not on me. This is not on me. This is on God in through my children. And so, but if you watch your children, you pay attention to the things they like or the things they watch or the things they do, God will give you clues as how to pray for them. And let them be who they are. Let them be. Don't try and expect that, because that's where I failed. I tried to push into my children what I thought they needed to be, and it was not that at all. And so I had to step back and let God heal those places in them. And then, I mean, he's made them incredible people, incredible people.
That's awesome. Just in closing, I wanted to just say the scripture that keeps coming to my mind is Luke 4:18, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and he's anointed you." And I want to speak to all the mothers out there that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and he has anointed you to do the good work here for raising your family, for raising your children. And I want to speak to the men as well, and those of you who don't have children, you know, it's easy to get caught up in what we don't have, who we aren't, where we're insecure. But I would just pray that today we would really leave with a huge hope that all of us have a story, we have different experiences, but in all of it, the Lord has anointed us. And we have an identity in Christ that I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface. Lord, take us deeper in the identity of Christ, of who we are in him, of who he called each and every one of us to be. You know, I just pray that you leave this place today edified, that the Lord is on you. The thing is you're a strong woman of faith, because you wake up in the morning and you make your kids breakfast and maybe you send them to school. And that takes faith. Like, you know, you have faith that they're going to wake up in the morning and that, you know, everything's going to be okay and you got to send them off. You got to have faith. I'm a homeschool mom too. And you got to have faith that I'm doing the right thing. A strong woman of faith here, like believing that God is going to take whatever I say to my kids and prayerfully use it for their good. Because God knows I fail, you know. So I just pray that over us today. And I wanted to read just a scripture, Proverbs 11:16. A gracious, generous woman will be honored with a splendid reputation. And so I just pray that God would increase in us just the generosity of his heart and his spirit. There's mothers out there, y'all are so generous. I mean, we talked about like giving beyond what we can possibly give. We're always giving, giving, giving. But your reputation, you know, is seen by the Lord and by heaven. And your kids love you. And it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And so we just wanted to honor you ladies out there. And of course, men too. You guys, we can't be who we are without each other. But I wanted Cindy to just kind of close us out in prayer. Can you just bless us and pray over us today?
Father, we are so grateful that you made us mamas. And the mamas to be, and the mamas in the spirit, spiritual mamas, and heart to be mamas. I bless every woman in this place, Lord, today. And I ask that you would pour out on her your love and your appreciation, because you really do appreciate what we do in your name and in your behalf. You know every moment that we're awake, every tear that we cry, every pain that we feel, every question that we have. You feel it all. You know it all. Thank you that you're ever there, so close, so full of love, so full of forgiveness, so full of comfort. And I ask that you would bless each woman and refresh her today, each family, each child, each husband, each brother, each sister,
each aunt and each grandma. Father God, that you would cover all of us in your blood and that you would fill all of us, Father God, with the knowledge of your love for us. We are family, and we thank you, Lord, that you have knitted our hearts together. I thank you for the two mamas in the hospital today that are about to bring forth one already and the other one about to bring forth new life. That is a double portion, Lord, and we thank you for that today. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless them there as well. And we praise you and give you thanks in Jesus' name.
And I just want to pray just against that, what we talked about, that spirit of comparison. And so, Lord, I just pray for every heart right now over the moms where we feel like we have to compare ourselves or be untrue to who we are. And, Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would minister, that today would be a turning point, that we would leave fully confident in who we are in you. Lord, that we would be able to parent and guide our children and even those around us, Lord God, as you lead us with confidence. Lord, I thank you that you hear every heart cry. You see every tear at night. Lord, you answer every prayer when we call. So I just ask, God, for wisdom over the mothers today. Lord, that there would be a fresh walk in their steps as women, as mothers of faith. And we just bless them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ladies, so much for sharing. So awesome.